Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
We're home with the Lord. It's kind of a vacation, you know, just once in a while they get in the Lord. But I want to live, move, and have my being. I said that so much, somebody sent me a beautiful handmade plaque. Their teenage daughter made it, and it was that scripture. In him I live and move and have my being. Praise God. Being a father is so much easier when you have a tremendous wife and a tremendous mother, and Becky's made it much easier than it is for some. All of my heroes are not in Hollywood or in Nashville or in New York or in Washington, D.C., or in a sports arena or a rodeo arena. All of my heroes are in the church. And top of that list is single parents raising children. Wives that no longer have a husband there helping with the children, or occasionally fathers that don't have a wife and you're raising children. You are my heroes. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to talk to you on a subject. I preached this for the first time. God gave it to me. And you don't always get to preach what you wanted to. I didn't want to preach this in Fort Worth, but God literally sent me on an assignment to preach that, and I didn't receive it until later in the week. And this social media thing and online, it's scary. It is scary because they apparently are listening to everything we say, and I say that seriously. I said something about a certain brand of car to Becky the other day. It popped up for days on my phone, and it was just a private conversation, not anything I put on there. And so I'm going to talk to you about something that I've never heard anybody talk about. And then after I talked about or preached about it, it popped up on my phone, a subject that Smith Wigglesworth dealt with, and I've never heard anybody, but there was no way that that could pop up on my phone except somebody was listening to it. And so there is probably somebody monitoring everything we do now. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the kryptonite of faith. The kryptonite of faith. How many people know what kryptonite is? About half of you. That's right. Superman. I am prepared for this message in a major way. These are Superman cufflinks. Somebody gave them to me. I'm going to preach about Superman. I said I should wear his cufflinks. Superman was born on the fictional planet Krypton. And just as it was about to self-explode, his mother and dad put him in a little capsule and sent him to Earth. He came down near a fictional town of Smallville to the parents named Mr. and Mrs. Kent, Jonathan and Martha Kent, and he was known as Clark Kent. And Superman was awesome when I was a little boy. I have two heroes when I was a little boy, Superman and the Lone Ranger. Rachel Bush found me a picture of the Lone Ranger autographed by the guy that played that, and I have it in my office still. I love the Lone Ranger and Superman. And Superman could do anything, and nothing could control him or in any way enable him except kryptonite. And kryptonite affected his bloodstream. He would break out in sweat. He would almost faint. And he would become totally weak and incapable of doing anything. That's what kryptonite did to Superman. The closest thing to a real Superman on earth is a Holy Ghost-filled man or woman. Jesus talked about that. You shall have power. When you get gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a different gene. We like to get hung up on race, black, brown, yellow, whatever. But friend, the real race is when you experience regeneration. You are regened. You literally become superior to those that do not know Christ and do not have that same spirit that was in Christ. A Holy Ghost-filled person that is strong in faith is a super person. Look what the text said. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And my boys were little, they had those transformers. It looked like something, you start pulling it apart and it turned into a whole different thing. That's what happens. When you get gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are transformed. Creflo Dollar said it so cutely and so well. God wants to put his super on your natural. Before you get saved, you are natural. But when you get saved, you become supernatural. There's something inside of you that's not in other people on the street that do not know Christ. But the Bible said, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's some controversy about that statement. Kenneth Hagin Sr., which I have tremendous respect, a great man of God in heaven today, he said that means only those that are saved are given a measure of faith. I'm not sure about that. I know that we that are saved now have what the Bible said about Christ, given the Spirit without measure. And so I know that faith is a different commodity to those that are saved and those that are not. When they ask on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? That's what the Bible said. They were pricked in their hearts and said, what must we do? To answer that today, most preachers would say absolutely nothing. Just come to church and give some money, and that's all you can do. But that's not what the Bible said. That's not what Peter said. Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He roared back with that answer. Repent, that means that you are regened. You now get a new DNA. Baptized in Jesus' name is you have the authority of the name. I've had people work for me and say, Pastor Steve, I just need your checkbook and sign your name. Not a chance. Not a chance. And you can't do anything without the authority of that name. I signed so many documents, but those documents are not legal until I sign them. The authority is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is supernatural power. The transformers are coming. Ladies and gentlemen, we can just tear Joe Biden apart, but what we're asking Joe to do is not his responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. The real enemy is not in the White House. The real enemy is in the pulpit that will not preach the truth of God's word. If every pastor in America was on fire of the Holy Ghost and they would preach the Word of God, America would be transformed. We are the transformers. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Greater works than Christ? He said, you're going to do greater works than I do. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. If that same spirit that was in Christ dwell in you, it will quicken, make alive, make super your mortal body. Jesus had the spirit without measure. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit is likened to a river. It's self-filling. It just keeps coming. It's immeasurable. There's no end to it. The Bible said, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, Satan's devices of warfare. He has two plans, prevention and contamination. He wants to prevent people from hearing the truth, Most people don't know what you know. You are a small minority of this world's population. When you understand the power of repentance, when you understand the power of baptism and the Holy Spirit and Christ in you and the Holy Ghost and that supernatural language, you are a small minority. And the devil does not want people to know that. And so he keeps that truth from people even by camouflaging the message in the churches. You can watch Christian television day after day and perhaps never hear enough to get saved. Never hear enough to be transformed. You can go to most churches and never be empowered. All of that's been done away with. And they have new philosophy of Christianity where Christ has done it all and you nod your head and you're saved and that's all there is to it. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. God wants to transform you. God wants to change you. His second device is, if you are to hear that gospel and to act on it and recognize it, the second thing the devil wants to do is contaminate it, dilute it down. First, hide the truth. Second, render the power of God useless in your life. To find a kryptonite in your life that will make what has happened to you absolutely ineffectual. Elisha asks for a double portion of the Spirit, not a double portion of miracles. I've preached dozens of times about that double portion. It's been preached 10,000s of times that we should have a double portion of God's Spirit. That first Adam lost what God gave him, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, returned to give it. Jesus is called the last Adam. Every man or only saved men and women, I don't know. I believe it's saved men and women for sure can receive this power. Apparently, faith comes in all sizes. The Bible talks about great faith, small faith, large faith, no faith. The obvious truth is we receive faith, and God wants us to be on a quest to increase our faith. That is not always the case. In fact, sometimes it seems people are like a wasp. Did you know a wasp is bigger when it comes to life than it is any other time in its life? It gets smaller. That's the way many Christians are. The biggest moment of their life is the time they get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. But it begins to dilute down as Satan finds a kryptonite that renders that power to no use and no avail. Jesus predicts his followers will be superhumans. These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll heal the sick. They'll raise the dead. They will speak with a new tongue. Jesus is talking about the supermen of the Holy Ghost. But this does not always happen. Why? What is the kryptonite of faith? We can rush to the conclusion it's sin. It's because people have sin in their life. But that might not be the answer. For the Bible tells us in James chapter 5, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. Remember this verse. It's one of the most important verses in your Christian life. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That word passion can be translated failure. It can be translated sin, mistake, falling. Elijah had every problem you've got. If you're born again and filled with God's Spirit, you have the same problems Elijah had, but Elijah also had them. But it did not render him powerless. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah was a great man of faith, so much that Elisha wanted twice what he had, a double portion of his spirit, a double portion of his faith. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee, and before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, and let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a sold-out Christian, if you're sincere, and you see the terrible things that are happening in this world, every day there should be a prayer that comes from your lips. Give me a double portion of faith. Let me be a person that can change my family, my friends, my cohorts, my peers. Lord, give me that double anointing, that double spirit, that double faith, a double portion of the Spirit of God. How did he receive that kind of faith? Every Christian has that potential, but the devil is waiting with his kryptonite to make sure that if you receive that kind of power from God, that something happens, that it will be rendered powerless in your life. Jesus, when he was getting ready to depart, said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Your faith doesn't get smaller. Peter, it gets bigger. It doubles. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That is the prayer that Jesus has for everybody within the sound of my voice that is saved. That your faith will not fail, but your faith will increase. That you will have faith to meet this generation and this day that we live in. But why does faith fail? If it was not because of the passion, Elijah had the passions, the problems that we have, and yet his faith did not fail. And when Elijah passed by and Elisha sensed that spirit that was on him, he said, "I want it, and I want it in spades. I want it twice." And so sure enough, he begins to follow Elijah. And his quest is that when Elijah leaves, he will get the mantle and he will receive a double portion. But what is interesting is when Elisha was burning his plows and killing his oxen, Elijah was saying, "Go back." Elijah was not seducing him into the ministry. He was doing his very best to dissuade him because he knew how difficult it was and what responsibility that you bear when you're called into the ministry. He said, "Go back." And no matter what he said, Elisha would say, "No, I'm not going back. I'm not going back." The Bible said he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. They came to Gilgal. Elijah said, "You're not cut out for it. Stay here. I'm going on." Elisha said, "No, I'm not staying here. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. As the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." When they came to Jericho, again, Elijah insults Elisha and tries to send him back. And again, Elisha says, "No, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I leave thee not." And Elijah came again to Elijah, and he said, "You stay here. I'm going on." He was not trying to persuade him to follow. He was trying to dissuade him. In fact, what he was doing was he was actually insulting him because he knew that there is one kryptonite for a man or woman of faith, one thing that will take you out. There's not a person in this building that cannot name 5 or 10 or 20, in my case, hundreds of people that used to walk with the Lord. Many of them came to this church, and they're no longer here. Say, why are they not here? Somebody said, "Oh, they're just full of the devil." No, they're not. Somebody said, "They're bad people." No, they're not. It is that the devil found their kryptonite, what it was to keep them from being what they would be. There are people today that are alone in their apartments, sitting alone in their trailer at home. They don't go to church anywhere anymore. Something happened to them. Kryptonite literally robbed them of what they could have been. They could have been pastors and ministers, ushers and singers and worship directors, Sunday school teachers. Their entire family is lost because somehow their faith failed. What was it? What was it that caused them to stumble and fall? It's the thing that separated Elisha from everybody else, and that was this. He simply could not be offended. The devil knows that all of you are not going to be drug addicts. The devil knows that all of you are not going to be alcoholics. The devil knows that all of you are not going to be adulterers. All of you are not going to be demon-possessed. And so he said, "My most subtle weapon, my kryptonite of faith is this. If I can find some way to offend them, it will cost them their double faith venture. And so many people, wonderful, good people, simply are not in the kingdom of God today because they got offended. Somebody hurt them. I've always wondered about the lady that sent the note, said, I won't be back to Living Way because the pastor preached about you ought to wash your car. And she said, I had the dirtiest car in the parking lot. He was talking about me. I didn't know the lady. I didn't know her car. I didn't know it was dirty. But the devil knew it, and he had me to say something so perfectly offensive to her that she never came back. I hope she found a church where they will welcome people with dirty cars. The truth is, the devil is just trying to find something that will offend you. Elisha refused to be offended. Jesus said unto his disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come, and they will come, he said. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you offenses will come. I was a 10-year-old boy, so shy I couldn't look at my shadow. Oh, I was bashful. I was so bashful. But at Murfreesboro, Illinois, at that old-fashioned camp meeting in July, just about this time of year, hot like it gets in Southern Illinois, that old-fashioned preacher preached a message that snatched me out of my pew. I said to my mama, I'm going to the altar. She said, ask your dad. Ask my dad nothing. I was down an aisle and gone. Tears flowing down my face. They didn't have altars. They had folding chairs lined up to make an altar. I knelt at my folding chair, so shy and so embarrassed, but I could not resist the call of God. And I was kneeling there. Some old man came and grabbed the chair that I was kneeling, just jerked it out from under me and said, boy, you don't need this chair. Let me give it to somebody else. My entire life in Christ started with offense. It hurt my feelings. The devil told me to get up and go back to my seat, but I didn't do that. I wept my way through to repentance. If you receive the experience of the day of Pentecost, you become a creature in a new creature in Christ Jesus, a Superman, and Satan must stop you. So here comes the kryptonite. Here it comes. The devil is going to spend your lifetime trying to offend you, just making sure that something doesn't go your way. Somebody says something about your hair, your clothes, your car, your husband, your wife, something about you, something about the cookies you bake, something about what you wore. Somebody does not speak to you. Somebody does not give you the credit you need. But there is a power of an unoffended Elisha. He simply said, I refuse to go back. I have begun, and I've got one thing on my heart, and that is a double portion of God's power in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, he received that so strongly that when he was buried and they threw a soldier in on his grave, the soldier stood up alive. Resurrection was in him. Everything you touch will become a miracle, and the devil is afraid of you. The devil is afraid that you are going to mature to what you're supposed to be, and so he is doing his best to hurt your feelings. It's too hot. It's too cold. Somebody got your seat. When I was a little boy, there was a man in our church, and he sat on the second pew. He was supposed to be saved, but he bore no fruit of it. He was a mean man. He was an overbearing man. And the worst little guy in the church, in the town, about 17 years, just a hoodlum. For some Sunday morning, some reason, he came and sat on that second seat, and Virgil grabbed him by the ear, drug him down the aisle, and took him out the door and said, don't ever get my seat again. That's exactly what the devil happened. That boy never came back. I've always wondered what he would have become in God if that man had not offended him. What would have happened if he had got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? He could have become a mighty man of God. Abortion is exactly what the devil wants to do in your life. He wants to offend you. The devil's going to send somebody, something to offend you, lest you become that new transformed creature that God has called you to be. It might even be Jesus himself. Did you know that Jesus himself bears the label, the rock of offense? Ladies and gentlemen, God has got a plan for you, and Satan has got another plan, and that is to keep you from being what God has called you to be. God wants to transform you. Judas was offended by the waste of worship. What is it that offends you? I've made up my mind. I am not going to be offended, ladies and gentlemen. There are kind people that say good things to me all the time. Not as much now as I get older, but when I was young, people would say offensive all the time. In Mississippi, a man told me, he said, if you're a preacher, son, the woods are full of them. Another guy told me in Austin, Texas, said, I don't get nothing out of your message at all. All I do is watch you rub your eyes. Offense just keeps boiling up. But I don't know what you've made up your mind to do. I've made up my mind to be immovable. I'm going to be an Elisha. I can't be offended by young people. I can't be offended by old people. I can tell you right now, the music of this generation certainly is not my music, but I'm going to worship with you with that music. I'm going to praise with that music. You're not going to run me off of my pew. You're not going to run me out of my house. You're not going to take my mantle away. I've got an Elisha spirit on me that says I'm going to have a double portion. I pray every day for the good people of this city that no longer go to church because somebody offended them. That's exactly what the devil wanted them to be, because they were a potential super saint, a superman, a superwoman. God called them to cast out devils, heal the sick, lead their family to Christ, to be a preacher, to be a pastor, to be a singer, to be a worshiper, to be an usher, to be a Sunday school teacher. And the only way the devil could keep that from happening was to make sure that they were offended. Somebody hurt their feelings. You got to get tougher than that. You got to get tougher than that. Say, you're not going to run me off. I want a double portion of the Holy Ghost in my life. And I don't care what anybody says about me. People can criticize me. People can call me names. People can make up lies on me. I am here to stay, and I will not give up. And praise God, I see the mantle coming down from heaven for this generation. And whoever gets that mantle is going to have a double portion.